the other day, Kelsey and I were up at the Verizon store up in South Williamsport, getting some things changed over on our family's phone plan. And as we were standing in the store, I hear this voice off to the side say, "Hi, Justin." And it took me a minute, because there's not a lot of people I know outside of this crowd in this area just yet. But I looked to the side, and I saw this familiar face. But I couldn't quite place it. I said hi back, just, you know, be polite. But it took me a few minutes as I stood there in the middle of the store. You know what I'm talking about. You know that sensation. And with it being just Christmas and all, I thought maybe it was somebody who passed through. But then it finally clicked. And I looked, and I recognized that the person who had said hi to me was none other than the regular barista down here at the Route 15 Starbucks. Yes, we're on a first name basis, but we're not going to go there. But it took me a minute, because for me, she was very much out of place. I couldn't recognize her not standing behind the counter wearing the green apron, right? And I think this happens to most of us at some point. I think most clearly it happens to us with our teachers. Do you remember the first time you saw a teacher outside of school? Do you remember how bizarre it was to see them at the grocery store or at the mall? They don't belong outside of the school building, right? It seems odd because they seem out of place, right? As we come to this morning's text, as we read these Epiphany accounts, the scene that's set is one that may feel familiar, but it is most certainly one with something out of place. After hearing Luke's account of Jesus' birth this past Christmas, the scene has a look and feel that seems like it picks right up where we left off. Here, Matthew tells of an episode taking place after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Though his telling of the birth story leaves out the vast majority of details that Luke includes. Instead, Matthew chooses to focus on the actions of those around the Holy Family. Immediately, in fact. He frames this story by noting that it takes place during the time of King Herod's rule, right? And so far, it seems good. Such scene setting establishes the norm of the day. Yet it's not long before something begins to feel out of place. In fact, it's in the very same verse that Matthew notes that something different was afoot. Soon after Jesus' birth, he says, wise men from the east came to the city of Jerusalem. And just like that, the story highlights those who are out of their place. Like seeing your teacher at the movie theater, the presence of these wise men should feel bizarre, if not off-putting. After all, to Matthew's audience, these wise men simply don't belong in Jerusalem. See, our translation and titling of these figures as wise men might be a tad bit misleading. See, when Matthew refers to them in the Greek language he uses to write his gospel, he uses the term magi, a word that we have also ascribed to these figures, right? The trouble, though, is that magi is a wonderfully vague term that could range in its meaning from something akin to a court magician, all the way through some sort of fortune teller. This means, though, that most scholarship agrees that these magi, at least, must have been some sort of professional astrologers, those who routinely search the night sky for meaning in the world around them. Hence, it stands to reason that these would be the first to notice a new celestial phenomenon taking place, leading them to begin heading west. But even so, to have such characters as these, to have astrologers appear in the holy city of Jerusalem, it would be offensive. This is not where they belong. I mean, these New Age stargazers who predict fortune and well-being or calamity from the locations of stars in the sky don't belong in the holy city, where such conclusions are drawn solely from the word of God itself.
Their Eastern Gentile practices don't deserve a place alongside the scribes and the priests and the attendants of God's temple. Everyone knows that their work is purely superstitious folly. And yet despite such practices of folly, despite such seeming tomfoolery, these magi are the first to recognize the birth of the Messiah. As they arrive in Jerusalem, they come already with the question on their lips. Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage. Apparently, having noticed a shift in the celestial orientation, having noticed a heavenly body that was a bit out of place, these magi heeded the sign they saw and set out to see this one who was now born. And as they followed this star westward, they made the natural stop in the capital city. After all, it stands to reason that the one who was born King of the Jews would appear in the Jewish capital city of Jerusalem, right? But when they arrive, they find that their information maybe wasn't as precise as they needed it to be. So after the question is posed, King Herod sends for his own scribes and experts to ask them just where this King of the Jews they are describing was to be born. In turn, they provide him with the simple answer, quoting from the prophet Micah, that he is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, the land that will be by no means least among the tribes. It seems like an out-of-place location for the Messiah to be born. Nevertheless, these magi remain faithful in their search, and they head out to find the Holy Family. And in the end, they do find the family. They pay homage to this kingly child with gifts of their own prophetic value. Yet the fact remains that this scene, this moment of the Magi's arrival in the foretold city of Bethlehem, is an odd scene, to say the least. For such a town as this, the arrival of these figures from a faraway land would surely have caused quite a stir. Yet it is these magi, these ones who learn of the Messiah's birth from a sign in the stars, the ones who are outside of Israel, these non-Jewish foreigners with their strange practices, it is they who are the first to come and pay their respect to Jesus in Matthew's gospel. See, if there's anything that this story that begins this gospel tells us, is that when God arrives, it may seem so out of place. And moreover, God comes particularly for those who we think are already out of place. Because look at it. It's not the scribes, it's not the religious officials, the ones who should know full well where this Messiah is born. It's not any of them who come to visit Jesus the child. It's not the stand-in King Herod who comes to align himself with divine royalty. It's a couple of Gentile, spiritual but not religious types with no formal Jewish training who arrive to greet the Messiah. Yet in this visitation, we come to recognize that God's arrival is for all people, and that such an arrival may make itself known in ways that we might not even know how to recognize, which, to be honest, should come as a welcomed relief. After all, if God's arrival did come exactly as we expected it, if God came only for a particular group of people from a particular time and only in a particular place, then we'd be out of luck. The fact that these strange magi were the first to welcome God's coming means that God does, in fact, come and reveal the fullness of God's self for your sake. God doesn't show up just for those who seem high and mighty in their religion or faith. In fact, it may often be those who are like the scribes and officials who miss God's arrival for themselves. Instead, God shows up to greet the least expected. For Luke, it's shepherds standing out in the field. For Matthew, it's a group of strange men from a strange place with their stranger practices. See, by being born in Bethlehem, the unexpected town of fortune, by being born in such an out-of-place location, in welcoming the unexpected and out-of-place magi, God gives hope for all of those of us who feel like we're out of place. For the Magi, it was the hope of welcoming this new king. And more largely, as Paul tells us, for those Gentiles, as represented by these far-off visitors, it was a hope for a place even among God's people. And for us, for you, and for me, it remains in the hope of a God who remains with us whenever and wherever we may feel out of place. This is the joy of such an epiphany. Know that wherever you or those close to you may be, no matter how far out of place you may think you are, know that the same star that guided strange foreigners to the birth of Jesus the Christ is the same that shines for you. Even if you may not know how to find your way, this is the God who comes to find us with whatever means and whatever signs are necessary. Thanks be to God for meeting us so out of place. Amen.